Well, welcome and God bless you as we open up the Gospel of Luke again. And this time we're looking at chapter 11. And in chapter 11, Jesus was praying. And this is an exercise that we would encourage each and every one of you to do. Pray every day, perhaps several times in a day. You don't necessarily have to kneel to pray. Walking along, you can pray. At your desk, you can pray. Cooking, you can pray. You can pray at any time. Praise God. So I would encourage you to be a prayer warrior for Jesus. Well, anyway, the disciples came to him and said, Lord, as they saw him praying, they said, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so Jesus said, and this is an amended form of the Father's Prayer, the Paternoster, as it is called in Latin. But he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, so in heaven, so in earth. Now, the point that I want to bring out here is this. This is what the will of God is. That his will, which is done in heaven, shall be done in our lives too. We will fulfill the will of God. You know, it's an interesting thing. There were three kings of united Israel. Saul, David, and Solomon. And Saul was the first king, given in God's anger because the people were virtually rejecting God and they wanted to be governed by a king. And Samuel was the prophet who anointed Saul. But then Saul disobeyed the commandments of God, and Samuel said this, but God hath chosen one who will fulfill all his will. And so this is one of the things that we have to learn in the Lord's Prayer, that God is seeking those who will indeed fulfill his will. Will indeed fulfill his will. That is what God wants from each and every one of us, that we will do the will of God for our lives. In heaven, the will of God is fulfilled. Through every member that is in heaven, God's will is fulfilled. The angels fulfill the will of God. But on earth, oh, on earth, it's quite different, isn't it? But God wants us to fulfill his will for our lives on earth. And you know, our time on earth is relatively very short. I'm in my 80s, but I could tell you, life has been flash like that. It started, it's almost finished now, and it's as though it was, as Moses said, a tale that is told. It goes very, very quickly. And the older you are, the quicker it seems to go. And so we don't have a lot of time to seek God and to perform his will for our lives. And then another thing, give us day by day our daily bread, and trusting the Lord. You know, in some times we might have deprivations, but as we cry out to God, God will provide for us. And then forgiveness. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. But here is something I want to emphasize, you see. We need forgiveness. We must absolutely have God's forgiveness to enter the kingdom of God. And so, what is the key to having forgiveness? Well, the key is to make sure that we forgive everybody else who has done things against us, is indebted to us, and so forth. We have to indeed, by the grace of God, forgive. And the one who forgives shall be forgiven. What we sow, we reap. And so as we indeed forgive, then God will forgive us. And then, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There are so many temptations in this world. And you know, according to what is in our heart, is whether we yield to that temptation or not. And so we want to cry out to God, oh God, please, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so that's an amended form of the Lord's Prayer. It's given in more detail in the other Gospels. But the point that I want to bring out now is this little parable that he's going to give. And it helps us understand prayer. Now then, he's going to emphasize a key point in prayer. And essentially, it concerns, you know, someone who has a friend, and he goes to that friend at midnight and says, look, a friend of mine has come on a long journey. He's come to my house, and I haven't got any bread to give to him. I'm out of bread. He said, give me some bread so that I can feed my friend. And the one in the house says, look, I'm in my bed with my children around me. He said, I cannot get up and go and get you bread. But the fellow down below is desperate, so he keeps knocking. And the Lord says this, you know, the one in the bed will eventually get out. Because, not that he is a friend of the one who is asking, but because of his importunity. His importunity. In other words, the fact that he kept knocking. Then, eventually, the fellow gets out of bed, you know, and gives him what he needs. And the Lord takes that up, you see. He said, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And then he says in verse 9 to us, ask and he shall be given you. Now, in the Greek, the thought is this, keep asking until you receive. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh shall find, and he that knock, it shall be opened unto you. But the thought is this, it's not just sufficient to ask once, but it is to keep on asking, to keep on knocking, to keep on seeking, until you receive. It's opened unto you, and you find. You see, the whole purpose of prayer is the end, isn't it? If you're asking for something, you know, the whole purpose is that you will receive what you're asking. And so you must never, but never give up. Constantly ask until you receive. And that is the prime thought here. And then some people, you know, when they're asking for the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, they say, oh, will I receive something that is false? And the Lord continues and says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or will he, if he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, would he give him a scorpion? In other words, your natural fathers, you will obviously give good gifts unto your sons. He said, in like manner, when you ask the Heavenly Father for something that is good, He is not going to give you something that is evil. And then he continues by saying, how much more, how much more, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him, to them who ask him. And so here he's placing one of the greatest gifts that God can give to man, and that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that God wants us to ask him for. You know, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, you know, tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Well, in exactly the same way, you know, Jesus is teaching here, look, one of the prime things to ask for is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And he said, you know, don't be afraid. If you're going to ask for the Holy Spirit, the Lord will give you the Holy Spirit. He won't give you something that is evil. And so have confidence that what you're going to receive is from God. But keep asking until you receive. And then, you know, many were looking at Jesus and saying, well, he casts out spirits by the prince of demons or devils, Satan. But Jesus says, look, how is that possible? He said, if that be, then Satan's kingdom would be divided against itself. And he said, then it would not stand. No, God is a good God. And Jesus was a good man. And so what he did was only goodness. He's altogether goodness. And I want you to approach Jesus with that thought in mind. He is filled with goodness. And what you ask him, he will do. But you've got to keep on asking until he does it. You see, sometimes there are obstacles, unseen obstacles. Well, look at some of these obstacles. You know, Peter said, you know, that we've got to be reconciled with our wife lest our prayers be hindered. And so we've got to have harmony in the home that our prayers be answered. And therefore we've got to be at one with other people so that our prayers are not hindered. We can't have other forgiveness in our heart. We can't have done something against somebody else and expect our prayers to be answered. No, we've got to put things right. You know, in fact, Jesus will bring out elsewhere in the Gospels, he said, look, if you have something against someone else or someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there, go and be reconciled, and then offer your sacrifice. In other words, we've got to be right with people so that our prayers are not hindered. Our prayers are not hindered. But then, in the book of Daniel, you know, there's another situation where Daniel, it is revealed to him, is being opposed by fallen angels who don't want his prayer to be answered. And so sometimes, you see, we have to pray against the powers of darkness until our prayer or the answer to our prayer comes. Because Daniel, the first time he prayed, was heard, but the answer was sent, but the answer was hindered by the powers of darkness. So be encouraged. Keep on praying until the answer comes. And then something else. You know, a woman is looking at Jesus and says, oh, blessed is the one who brought you forth into the world. This is what Jesus responded. He said, yea, rather blessed are they which hear the word of God and keep it. You know, That is something that we have to understand. You know, how heaven looks at things, often quite differently to how we look at things. You know, and Jesus is saying, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Well, how are you going to hear the word of God unless you go to church? You can't, see. But not only hear it, but read the word of God. Because in those days, very few people could read, so they had to hear the word of God. And you want to go to church to hear the word of God and to keep it, and then you will be blessed. Praise God. Well, then we move on. And here is another thought that is very important indeed. And it's a thought that we want to pay attention to. And it's a little parable, if I could say that in itself, of a candle or a lamp. And Jesus says, you know, someone who has lit a candle doesn't put it in a secret place. But no, what does he do? He brings the candle out, or the lamp out, so that everybody might enjoy the light. Well, that is what he's saying concerning us. In other words, you know, the light that is within us, if we have Christ, the light of the world within us, if we've invited Christ into our hearts and asked him to come into our lives and save us, then that light must shine forth. We mustn't be a secret believer. We must be one that lets our light shine so that all may see it. And then you see he continues, but take heed that the light which is within you does not become darkness. This is one of the things that we have to be very careful of in the Christian life. The Christian life is one of an instantaneous experience, being born again. But also, it's a life of continuance. Patient continuance in well-doing. And so, there the thought is that Jesus said, look, you know, having received me as your Savior, don't go back into sin and don't let the light that was in you become darkness again. For how dark that will be. And then we come to another situation where the Pharisees wanted him, a certain Pharisee wanted him to, shall I say, have a meal with him. And he came and sat at the meal, and everybody was amazed that he did not wash his hands before he started the meal. Now, I think he did that very purposefully so that a lesson could be driven home to the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees were very concerned about outward appearance, outward washings, and so forth. And Jesus wanted to drive home the truth. Look, you're interested in washing hands, washing before coming in and so forth, washing the feet. But he said, a more important thing is your inward cleansing. Your inward cleansing. And he said, outwardly, you're clean. But he said, inwardly, well, he speaks of full of ravening and wickedness. In other words, he said, you're to take care of the inward parts. And isn't that true? So many people, you know, are concerned with their outward appearance. You know, when they're going to a meal and so forth, they make sure that they're dressed nicely and a nice dress if you're a lady, or a nice suit if you're a man, and you're nicely washed and so forth. But you can do that going to church, can't you? Put on your Sunday best, as we say in England. But inside, have we washed our heart? Has our heart been washed through obedience to God's word, through asking him to cleanse us and purify us? See, this is what Jesus was so concerned about. He said, you know, if you do these things, then you're clean completely. But we must have a pure heart. And then, you know, he constantly upbraids these religious leaders. And when we consider the Bible, who reads the Bible? Really, only Christians read the Bible. The people who are outside the church do not read the Bible. In other religions, they do not read the Bible. Who, therefore, is the Bible written for? Well, it's written to believers. Because, after all, only believers read the Word of God. And so, the people in Jesus' time, who indeed taught the Word of God, were indeed the Pharisees and the Levites and the religious leaders. And so, he is talking to them. And it's a series of woes here to religious leaders. He said, "Woe unto you Pharisees," in verse 42, "for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God." And this is important, you know, that we realize what is important to God. That which is important to God is that we love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And that also we exercise judgment. We do that which is righteous, you know, with respect to our neighbors. You know, when somebody's got a cause against us, we do righteous. We put things right. Those are the things that are important. And then another woe, he says to the Pharisees, you know, when you're invited to a banquet, you want the top seats. In other words, you're full of pride, and you want people to look upon you and speak well of you and greet you. In other words, the Pharisees were very concerned about their positions in the eyes of other people. But really, we should take the lowest. And then he says in verse 44, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." In other words, he's saying, really, what you are, you're dead. You know, you have a name like Sardis in the book of Revelation, the Church of Sardis. You have a name that you're alive, but in actuality you are dead. And people don't realize it. You're like a grave, you know, and people walk over your grave, don't realize it. He said you're dead. You have a name that you're alive, but in reality you are spiritually dead. Is that you? I hope not. And then he continues. And then in verse 46 he said, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye lay men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." You know, in other words, you know, so many people, you know, say, well, as a Christian you should do this, this, and this. And they themselves don't do it. You know, it's not a question of preaching that which is right, that's important. But doing it, not just hearers of the law, not just preachers of the law, not just preachers of the Bible, but we have to do what the Bible tells us to do. We have to be hearers, but we have to be doers of the word. And the problem was, the Pharisees were telling everybody what to do, but they weren't doing it themselves. We don't want to fall into that category. And so, they were furious. And so they were laying in a wait to try and catch Jesus with his words. And you know, sometimes we'll be in positions, in perhaps our workplace, where the things we are saying will be, foreign and upsetting to our workmates, and they'll try and goad us to say the wrong thing. And we've got to know when to keep silent and when to speak, so that by the grace of God, we are a good witness, that we don't get caught out. And Jesus certainly was the master of that situation. There were times when he spoke, there were times when he kept silent, so that he would confound his enemies. May God grant that you will be a wonderful witness where you are. And remember this, not he that heareth, but he that doeth is justified. May God grant that we be doers of the word of God, and we glorify our Heavenly Father by our works. Amen.